United Airlines is about to start charging a fee for preferred seating in economy class, and American Airlines is cutting some flights out of O'Hare. Brian Summers is aviation business editor for Skift.com and is with us this morning, as he is every Friday, via Skype from Los Angeles. Brian, let's start first with American Airlines removing some flights out of O'Hare.
Yeah, some big news out of Chicago this week for American Airlines. You know, years ago, American, like a lot of U.S. airlines, decided that it needed to grow in Asia, China especially, and it was flying from Chicago to Tokyo and also to Shanghai and to Beijing. The American people tell me that those China routes in particular lost a lot of money over the last few years, like a shockingly large amount of money. And with fuel prices going up, Americans said, look, you know, we can't fly these loss-making routes anymore. So Beijing went first. That was announced a couple of months ago. This week, Americans said, you know what, we can't do Shanghai anymore. And they're also going to drop Chicago-Tokyo to three times a week from daily. Now, the American people will want me to point out that American is hoping that it can suspend these China routes, and maybe they'll be able to come back in the future, perhaps less than daily or seasonal. But right now, it's not allowed to do that, so it would need to secure special conditions.
So, Brian, how difficult is it going to be for people to get to these locations if they want to go there?
Well, it's funny that you say, right? Because you're in a great location right there in Chicago. There are two hubbed airlines. There's United Airlines. They're still flying those routes. United is a little bit stronger in Chicago. And, of course, now they're not going to have as much competition on these key routes. So you'll always be able to fly there on United. With something like Tokyo, American has a joint venture partner, Japan Airlines, so people can earn and redeem miles on Japan Airlines. That's essentially like flying American. If you're an American loyalist, getting to China will be a little bit tougher. Maybe you'll have to change planes in Dallas-Fort Worth, but you can do it if you really want to fly American.
And begs the question, too, are we headed for more of these kinds of decisions by the airlines now that we're seeing costs go up? Is this going to be something that we'll see in other places as well?
Yeah, I think we are. A lot of airlines are looking at their longest routes because, of course, those burn the most fuel. We saw recently United is canceling its longest route, Los Angeles to Singapore, after just 1 year, which is hardly enough time, but it's probably just not working. We're seeing these airlines redeploy routes on or redeploy aircraft on other routes, perhaps a little bit shorter routes. American's actually going to try something interesting next year, just seasonally, but they're going to fly Chicago to Athens. They've had a lot of luck with Chicago Europe flights recently, and they think that's worth giving it a shot.
Let's talk a little bit more about the hometown airline. United was reading one of your stories about how they're going to add some fees for some of these seats in economy class. What are they doing there?
Yeah, I spoke this week with United Airlines President Scott Kirby, and he essentially said that, look, United has been leaving some revenue on the table. People who fly United a lot and they sit in the regular coach cabin knows that you can essentially choose any seat in coach you want for free. So if it's an aisle, you know, row 25, as long as it doesn't have extra legroom, you just choose it. United doesn't ask for extra money. American and Delta generally block those seats. So if you're not an elite frequent flyer and you want to sit in an aisle seat in the middle of the plane, you're going to pay a little bit extra. And so United is going to do that as well. There will still be a few rows, well, more than a few rows, several rows in the back of the airplane that you'll be able to choose and not pay a fee. But if you want to sit in the middle of the airplane, yeah, you're going to have to pay a fee.
Is this going to impact families and people that like to travel together?
It could. You know, right now I travel with my family. It's not hard to get a row across on United. It's certainly easier than on Delta and American. There are going to be fewer rows to choose from, and I definitely could see some families get shut out and maybe not get to sit with each other.
I love how Mr. Kirby tells you they're leaving revenue on the table. Have they identified other areas, too, where there's revenue potentially that they're not picking up?
So that's my phrase, revenue on the table. But I know that we consider Scott to be the revenue architect at United, and especially with fuel prices going up, I'm sure that he's going through all the couch cushions to see what extra money United can pick up. Because I think, Steve, as you and I have talked about before on this program, it's harder than people think to raise fares, even when fuel prices go up. And so airlines are trying to figure out how else they can raise money.
I like that he's probably going through the cushions on the planes as opposed to the couch. That's, I like how you put that. Let's talk about Delta Airlines, because you know, as we have this conversation about seats, another of your stories talks about how there will be fewer middle seats on some business routes.
Yeah, you know, Delta is going to be the first U.S. airline to take delivery of what's now called the Airbus A220. It was actually a Canadian plane until recently, until Airbus took it over, but that's neither here nor there. Anyways, early next year, Delta will take delivery of these aircraft. They're supposed to be very comfortable. They're supposed to be very quiet. And not surprisingly, Delta views this as a competitive advantage. So they're going to put it on routes where they're competing with other big airlines. And I spoke to a Delta person earlier this week, and he said, you know, the first routes that they'll go on are probably New York-Texas routes. Those are pretty competitive routes. United flies them, American flies them, and they want their most comfortable aircraft. I wouldn't be surprised if at some point they're flying from New York to Chicago, because that's one of those other very competitive routes. And, you know, we talk about most travelers don't care what type of plane they're on. They're always looking for the cheapest fare. But there are some business travelers out there in New York and in Houston and Chicago that actually not only care about comfort, but are willing to pay a little bit more for it. And all the big airlines want to cater to them.
You mentioned some of those airlines in there. JetBlue. Didn't JetBlue get some of these aircraft recently?
JetBlue did order the aircraft, but I think their deliveries are a little bit behind Delta. So we don't know what JetBlue plans to do with them.
I know you and I, Brian, have had the conversation about loyalty programs and frequent flyer programs before. The airlines are making some decent money from these programs, aren't they?
They are. You know, a lot of people view frequent flyer programs as just those programs that they go into, they fly a lot, and airlines give them miles. That's true to a big extent, but people forget sometimes that all those airline-branded credit cards we carry in our wallets are big money makers for the airlines. So if you have your credit card, your United or your American credit card, and you swipe it and you know you spend $50 on it, the airline is going to give you 50 miles, right? And eventually you can get a free trip out of that. But the airlines don't just give you the miles. The banks, your credit card companies, actually pay the airlines for the miles. They'll pay as much as 1.5 cents per frequent flyer mile. And that is just, you know, you think about how many miles people generate by swiping their credit cards every day. That is huge business for airlines. I mean, we're talking like $1 billion perhaps in profit at American, according to one Wall Street analyst. So it's crazy stuff.
Yeah, so that's a billion with a B. I can see why that would be a big deal. Are any of the other programs making it? I the better question is, how are each of the airlines doing in this area? Is like one airline making more money on this than another, or are they all pretty much right there together?
Yeah, I don't study this all that closely, but there is a Wall Street analyst who does. His name is Joe DiNardi, and I was looking through his report recently, and he tends to think that American Airlines has the most profitable frequent flyer program, followed pretty closely by United and Delta. It makes sense because those are, of course, the three biggest global airlines. Those are, you know, people love to have these credit cards sometimes because they want to go to Omaha in a few weeks to visit family. And so Southwest is good for that. But a lot of times people want to have the credit cards so that they can go to Asia in business class and things like that. And you can really only do that if you have the American, United, or Delta cards. So it makes sense that those are more profitable enterprises.
All right, Brian, good stuff. We'll see you again next week.
Thank you, Steve.
Brian Summers is aviation business editor for Skift.com. Make sure you follow Skift on Twitter and Brian as well at Skift and at Brian Summers. And sign up for the weekly Skift Airline Innovation Report at Skift.com/airline.